Hey, everybody. Fantastic episode of The Morning Show today. We dive into the state of Bitcoin ordinals with the halving 1 week away and, of course, the runes mania that's happening right now. We talk about which meme coins are interesting with a little bit of charting from Nick. We discuss Milady's breaking to a new all-time high in Ethereum terms. And lastly, we're joined by Asim Zaidi, aka President Awesome of Karate Combat, our partners at Karate Combat. Really fun discussion with him. He talks about how he does not drink water and only drinks coffee, and obviously talks about the Karate Combat token and what it's been like to be at the Karate Combat organization. Anyway, hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Friday, April 12th. Welcome to the Daily Bone Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto market. That includes the majors like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, meme coins, and NFTs. Today, we have an action-packed show. We are going to discuss the state of Bitcoin ordinals with the halving 1 week away. We are going to discuss the top meme coins to buy on this recent dip and what to make of Milady's breaking a new all-time high on Ethereum. That's actually pretty crazy. We'll also be joined by Asim Zaidi, aka President Awesome of Karate Combat. Very, very special guest today, high level professional, just in general. I mean, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, a multiple time world kickboxing champion, literally was taught Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu by the people that created it. It's going to be insane to have him on the show today. Really fun time here on a Friday. Clemente, what are you smiling about, buddy?
No, you said you wouldn't be wearing anything special. For context, Pio had his camera off pre-show, and he's like, "Yeah, sorry, I'm just you'll see on the show." He's like, "I'm not gonna do anything special." And then he comes on wearing that. You look fantastic, though.
I thought he was gonna have lard on his face after yesterday's conversation. So I'm actually really happy he's wearing it.
Sorry. So Pio is wearing, I believe it's called a gi, and he's wearing the Karate Kid. It's basically a Karate Kid outfit is what I would qualify it as. I'll take a picture of it. And
the
I'll
crane
up top. Yeah.
Well, anyway, you know, thank you for describing that, Clemente. Look, today's show, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you in partnership with Karate Combat, the first pro sports league in the world that is governed and gamified by a crypto token. The Karate token, that's ticker Karate. They also own karate.com, which is a very impressive domain. For all you domain people out there, I know that that's a big flex. The next event is next Saturday, April 20th, 420, nice, in Dubai, during Token 2049, and we will be joined today, like I mentioned, by Asim Zaidi, aka President Awesome, to learn more about the fight and his experience as the new president of Karate Combat. For all you martial arts fans, Luke Rockhold, former UFC light heavyweight champion, UFC legend of sorts, is actually competing next Saturday. So good get by Karate Combat, big name to get on the card. In the meantime, download the Karate Combat app at karate.com/app to get 88 free karate tokens. That's ticker karate, and play up only gaming at their next event. For those of you that participated last time, seemed like it was largely a positive experience for everybody. Love to hear about that stuff. So yeah, I mean, look, I couldn't be more excited about Karate Combat being a partner of ours. I'm going to be rolling out some content where I break down the film on the influencer fighters like Nick Carter, David Hoffman, Shillin Villain, and Billy McFarlane that are all going to be competing. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be sick. And having Asim on the show, President Awesome on the show today, is going to be super duper cool. Signal, why don't we just kick things off, go right into this weather report?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. It's the last day of the week. It's Friday, April 12th. That Ether market volume is coming at 10 million. It's the lowest of the three. Solana at 21. And Ordinals absolutely cooking up to almost 64 million. If you look at the market leaders on Ethereum, captains are up to 3.5. The Block Games DICE are down after Block went live yesterday. It's been hit almost by 70% fall in price. Over in Solana, Mutant Mun continues to cook up to 50% to a 3.2 SOL floor. And Tensorians are also up to 23.7 SOL. Finally, on Ordinals, is Pizza Ninjas, they're up 70% to 0.175 BTC, and Room Pups, they're up 50% to 0.15 BTC. Crypto roundup, what's been happening there? The majors have chopped over the last 24 hours with Bitcoin just under 71K, ETH at 3,500 and SOL at $172. Meme coins saw reduced volume over the last 24 hours, with many giving back the gains that they had yesterday, with WIF down to 3.8 billion, market cap about 5%. Pups Coin has bucked that trend though and went on a face melting run overnight, and into this morning is up 88% over the last 24 hours. Over on the top four stories of the past day, while Azuki released the trailer for their anime series episode one premiering on April 30th, the Azuki team has hopes that this anime anthology series will position them as a top player in the anime industry. Go watch that trailer. It was actually very good. The Azuki floor, though, didn't budge on the news and is down 25% from its local peak two weeks ago to a 40s floor. Secondly, over on Ordinals Collection minted yesterday and went on a massive run. It was The Block by Runestone Artist. It instantly minted out for 0.015 BTC and ran as high as 0.1 BTC on over 2.5 million of volume. Ape Odyssey, a 1K supply PFP project by Runes Terminal, minted out for free and currently holds a 0.025 BTC floor. Basically, anything with the word runes is running right now in Ordinals. And lastly, our very own Spencer Ventures announced the launch of Orange Cat Games, a digital and physical game design studio that aims to bring IP to life. Orange Cap's Twitter banner indicates a potential trading card game as it depicts a pair of pudgy penguins holding hands of cards. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you folks in the studio.
Fantastic weather report as usual, Signal. Big shout out to Spencer of Spencer Ventures for his new venture, Orange Cap Games. Didn't see that coming. He didn't tell me beforehand. I don't know if he told Nick or Clemente or anybody. But yeah, very exciting stuff. He did. There you go. The Daily Bone newsletter is emailed to anyone that subscribes at dailybones.com. Bitcoin lending protocol Liquidium announces upcoming support for Runes lending as anticipation grows ahead of the halving next week. Really interesting stuff there on the sort of DeFi side of Bitcoin. What a flourishing ecosystem Bitcoin has now post ordinals. Next story, Coinbase adds perpetual futures for the meme coin Pepe, which is up 4% on the day to a $4.1 billion market cap. Next story, Blast DeFi platform Pac Finance allegedly adjusts TVL requirements for their leverage protocol without warning, liquidating many users, including draining over $22 million from a single whale. Whoa. That's pretty wild that happened. Damn. Last one, speculation. So Clemente, okay, interesting. Speculation here. Campai Panda CEO Icebags is expected to launch a meme coin on Base today with the Telegram chat for closing this morning. And many of the Pandas community split on whether or not it should be launched. So I think that right now you can actually join that Telegram. It's live for like another 45 minutes. Clemente?
Yeah, I marked it as speculation because it's not confirmed whether or not it'll actually happen. Launching just a meme coin on Base does seem like kind of a big thing to do. And but yeah, we'll see if he actually does it.
All right. He was tweeting about how he wouldn't.
Yeah, I think he's doing some sort of marketing campaign to get attention because his engagement is through the roof right now on basically everything he tweets. Is he going to do something with Campai Pandas and just use that as leverage for it? Or if he ends up actually dropping the meme coin. If he does, I do think the meme coin will absolutely cook. So it's worth monitoring. I'm in the Telegram chat and it's literally just like a bunch of bullshit. Like I don't recommend people you join. You're not getting any alpha.
A video series about our meme coin.
Yeah, that'd be, I'm sure it would cook. Last one, upcoming mints. And by the way, it should be mentioned that yesterday's upcoming mints, segment had a big W in it. What was the name of that thing, Clemente?
It was the one that we were just talking about. Rune, The Block. It was The Block that minted out for 0.015 BTC and ran all the way up to 0.1, $2.5 million worth of volume.
That's crazy. Well, that was in yesterday's upcoming mint, segment. Today's, it looks like we have Doppelgangers by Gruff. This is a 4,069 supply PFP collection, much bigger supply than the stuff that we were talking about yesterday. It's minting today on Base. It's starting with an allow list at 1 p.m. Eastern time with public phase to follow 45 minutes after. Mint price is 0.0125 ETH for allow list and 2x that 0.025 for the public sale. Is someone going to sig? Someone? No? Okay. Cool. Well, those are your stories. This is a different flavor. It's a higher supply than yesterday's stuff. We'll have to see how this goes out. Is this an artist project, Clemente?
I don't know too much about it. I just know that a lot of collections have been cooking on Base recently in terms of NFT mint and Ray seemed pretty excited about this one. So we'll see what it does.
All right. Shout out to Ray from the research group. So quick hitter to kick things off. Azuki going big on IP. Azuki had posted a trailer video before. Now they've actually announced that the first episode of their Enter the Garden anime series would be released April 30th. That's very soon. That's 18 days from now. The first Elementals teaser went viral, receiving 2.2 million views on YouTube and millions of views on TikTok and Instagram. Azuki's actual NFT collection is struggling to maintain a high price. Right now, it has a 4 Ethereum floor, which is high when you kind of think about just what, like how much US dollar value that is. Spencer has been historically bullish on Azuki due to the upcoming anime token. We know Spencer loves tokens. I guess, what do we think of the Azuki NFT collection? I think that the anime itself looks super cool. I understand how big of an undertaking it is to produce something like this. So it is a significant like business lift. I think the whole thing is very, very interesting. I saw a little interview that I don't know what platform, who the interviewer was, but Zagabond was sitting down with an interviewer basically discussing the anime series, saying that this is the start of anime 2.0 in his mind. The interviewer even pushed back. He was like, I don't really understand that. He's like, it's anime 1.1. It's all very, very interesting to me. The market doesn't seem to care, but that's not unusual for the crypto market to not care about something that's like an actual progression in business. I don't know. What do we think about this? Nick, have you seen any of the anime footage, whether it's from not from the original trailer either?
I remember that.
With the bean and all that.
Yeah, I mean, they hired a world-class team in Japan. Pronounced Japan. That's how they say it. And they said, we gonna make some dope shit. Seems like people were very excited. How did it get 2.2 million on YouTube? What is that? Why did that happen?
It got like picked up on by multiple anime creators and people like prominent in the anime community were like, yo, this is pretty dope. And even people were like, if you look at the comments, like people are like, God, I wish this was an NFT project because this is so sick. Like, I want to watch it so bad, but I'm not going to because it's an NFT collection.
Yeah, the number one thing comment says, wish it was an NFT, such talent on display from every design standpoint. All right, I'm not an anime expert, so I have no way of doing any form of analysis on this. Other than the fact that I remember the guy that was associated with it, I'm blanking on his name, but he's
a pretty big deal.
Yeah, is legit within that space. A lot of people, a lot of the comments here are like, oh man, why does this have to be an NFT? Like the amount of hate,
it's going to take a really long time.
It's kind of crazy. How does that have any impact on the animation whatsoever?
I don't know, man. We have some great guests that I had on the Bitcoin show. I've invited them to this and they're like, sure. And then I think that they do a little bit like the fact that the word NFT is on the screen right now, I feel like makes them want to stay away. I feel like they'll give us a pass because they like know me from interviewing them on the show and stuff. But the crypto people hate NFTs. So obviously people outside of crypto, the level of hate is insane. It's going to take a really long time for that to wash away. It's going to take years and years and years.
Who hurt them though? Like who, like, I don't understand what, like,
I actually, I do understand. I do understand. A lot of people put a tiny amount of money into the NFT market in 2021 and it literally turned into like $1 million. Like Nick, you put $250 or $400 into Two Bored Apes or however much you put in. I don't remember the exact numbers.
$1,500, but I invested $30,000 at that time into NFTs. So,
But one of the ape purchases was sub $500. Am I incorrect?
Yeah, it was $450.
So you put in sub $500 and it literally was worth at least 500K, but probably closer to $1 million. Am I correct?
It was, you know, I don't like counting dollars because I have so many of them, but you know,
it was right. Above 500K, literally off of a sub $500 investment. Right. So then they're getting this information shoved in their face by assholes, basically. I'm not saying you, but other people are shoving this information.
So like people, to douchebags to take photos on yachts sort of thing?
Yeah, that type of person, right? And they're not getting any sophisticated understanding. They're just hearing crypto pictures, basically. They don't understand anything. They don't understand Bitcoin. They don't understand crypto. They don't understand anything. And they're just hearing people make a lot of money. They also won't even do an hour of their own due diligence on this. So then they just are like, I don't understand this. No one is explaining this to me simply. People are making a ton of money and I'm not. I fucking hate this. I think this is stupid. And that has essentially retained for years. We're recruiting people for our organization right now on LinkedIn. I changed my profile picture to like my actual face again. I'm like, dude, it's enough of a challenge to recruit people to a startup organization. I'm not going to try to do it with an NFT profile picture on LinkedIn. I changed it back to a picture on my face because I'm like, dude, I'm not going to give myself added friction and added obstacles to recruit people out of normal companies to come and work at a crypto organization, right? So that's kind of long and short of it. Yeah, go
ahead. I just want to say on that Azuki trailer was like both of them to date have been absolutely sick. I know they've got some big names that they've brought in as well. So that's how they're going to sort of like start to penetrate the anime market. It's extremely competitive. What will be interesting to see if they're able to actually get a foothold in it over the long term, because there's like, and like the anime world is huge and there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of lore. There's a lot of origin story. People are very passionate about like particular stories. But I think what the team has delivered here looks absolutely insane. I think on April 30th, I'm definitely going to watch that trailer. What's interesting is that they delivered a bunch of pictures over the last 2 years. We've seen prices absolutely rocket, and on the expectation that the team will deliver anime in the future, anime then gets delivered and the price does nothing. So like that is a state of where we are on the Ethereum side. On the Ordinal side, we're seeing that the pictures get delivered and price pumps. So you can see like the markets are completely like at completely different stages, where you have the Ethereum side actually delivering with world-class talent, actual like feature length trailers and cartoons coming up. Nothing happens to the price, and on Ordinals it's just pure speculation. So Ethereum side kind of still dead, I think, for the time being. I've got to say, yeah, it's very dead at the moment.
Gives me an idea for some video content to do, though. I will say that, where I'm just like, we gotta just lean in.
Oh yeah, make people mad. In.
I'm an NFT guy. All right, I spent $500 and now I have millions. What are you doing with your life? You're a fucking loser. That's what you're doing.
We'll just mog TikTok with that content strategy. I absolutely love it. Can't wait. Azuki has a lot of money. Anime and animation in general costs a lot of money. So I wonder how much it is per episode, because I think it's probably a lot. And I know that people will probably be like, they made $40 million off the Elementals mint. I don't know. Anime is expensive. I don't know. I'm not saying it's $40 million to do one season, but it is a lot of money. Clemente?
The only other thing to monitor, so it's a three, from what I saw, it's a three episode series. And okay, this is the fireworks. Like there's a lot of performance risk. And what I'm talking about is the anime chain, which they're doing with Arbitrum. I don't know about Arbitrum and doing it with them, but I'm assuming there's some sort of grant or partnership there. But there's a big piece that they're trying to do here, basically anime chain on Arbitrum, and it's going to include collectibles, film. Like they're trying to build something pretty big here that if they pull off could be impressive. But yeah,
what they're trying to do is what all of the people who worked in Hollywood came on this show and said they were going to do 2 or 3 years ago at this point, and now are actually doing it.
Well, Azuki's actually doing it. The Hollywood people are
not. That's what I'm saying. Azuki is doing. Like it for them, this is like a small amount of money for them to invest to show visible deliverables. For us, that would be a significant amount of money, because we've been stupid with trying to only raise small amounts of money when all of the real scam artists are getting $20, $30, $40 million, and we're just a bunch of losers, basically. So that's been our problem. And then, you can just drop a couple million down, get a legit animation here. What are they doing with it? Does it matter? You know, all that matters is they end up with the token with some, it's basically marketing leading up to a moment, which is them releasing this token. And then hopefully a bunch of people get money. There's no plan after that. Look at follow the Yuga Labs playbook after the token. I'd said that by the way, from the beginning.
You were a big time skeptic.
No, that's not how I would describe it. I was just saying it's built. Here's where I think the remaining dividends to the Bored Apes is coming from is the token. That's the final destination for these apes in terms of releases. We had the dogs. We then had the mutants. We then had the token. That's the sequence of things that was going to happen. After that, it was sell, basically. Like, there was no... Well,
the land was the top.
Oh, sorry, yeah. That was around the ApeCoin, though, happened at the same time.
ApeCoin came out right before the land.
Yeah. Whatever. Same. And I guess the CODAs were part of that whole drop. But the bottom line is, that was sort of the pinnacle moment. And I think like token is the last step in the cycle for these NFT projects. And then after that, it's sort of like just you're done and try and figure out some other plan, lay off your CEO, like restructure, then restructure again, then just keep on complain about how difficult it is to run the business, like do that sort of playbook.
Even though you're flush with cash,
even though you have $100 million, although now it's down to like 80 million. What are you gonna do?
The other thing that's in, like the whole performance risk stuff right now, like the market literally doesn't care about a game, right? Like the other side game, no one really cares about it as much as we thought it would. Like you look at Miladies right now. They're at a new ETH all-time high. They don't have any game that they're building. Like
you have a crypto native community, which is actually the strongest angle. It's as crypto native as you can get. And so there's zero expectation of execution. In fact, execution would be not welcomed there, right? It's just a quote community vibe. And within that community, there's more opportunities to make money because of the coins that get launched, right? So people can buy it and they're like, cool, this is going to give me early access to some future life-changing gambling opportunities. Sig, you were going to weigh in with something?
Yeah, no, it was exactly that. What you're saying about it being crypto native. And the fact is, what is a crypto market asking for right now? It's asking for tokens. And what have Milady's been dropping? The majority of tokens. So they are spot on trend for what the market wants and the current appetite. So Azuki dropping an anime is just it's more long term, and you know what? Kudos to Azuki for actually delivering something in the end, because other projects with treasuries far bigger have just poofed and disappeared. So I'm going to shout out Azuki and say well done on this one.
It's just hard to be excited about anything on ETH right now. When you look at anime token is interesting, right? For Azuki, that's kind of a carrot at the end of the stick. And you have Mochaverse, for example, also holding up their floor price ahead of their Mocha token. But other than that, it's hard for anything else to have any sort of good price action. I sold the majority of my ETH NFTs literally this week because it made no sense just to keep my capital tied up. When I could be putting it into other exciting things on, whether it's the Ordinals front, Blast Farming, or some Solana NFTs are also interesting. But it's just like, it makes no sense to have thousands of dollars tied up in these JPEGs when you can get more of it in terms of potential opportunities elsewhere. And when you look at like Ordinals right now, just kind of go through it. We have PUPs up another 70% in the last 24 hours. That's for the upcoming Rune, that has an implied market cap of $750 million. We have Pizza Ninjas. POU Pizza Ninjas are up 4x in the last week to
wild run
7 Bitcoin.
Wild run.
I don't know if you've seen, but Trevor's been leaning heavily into the educational front on the Runes front, and the market seems to like it. They're doing a lot of stuff there. They're up to 0.17. Bitcoin Puppets up 25% to 0.47. Probably going to flip
nodes. That's insane.
Probably going to flip Node Monkeys.
That's an example of putting in a couple $100 and having it literally at this point, it's worth almost $35,000.
Plus all of the airdrops that they've gotten. Like if they were airdropped a Rune Pup.
Bad buy though, right, Clemente? Bad buy? Think it's going down?
Bad buy 0.0. Bad buy 0.03. It literally will haunt me for the rest of my life.
Oh, but come Nick, on.
We don't have to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, Nick, I actually wanted to pitch some
we potential bought room nice minor bullshit, whatever Easy sent us. All of my ordinal Bitcoin is in that fucking project, which is so stupid. That thing is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. Easy's gone right now. And I hope he doesn't come back. This ridiculousness, dude. Like, this is insane. I've gotten so fucked on ordinals, man. This is just like, I've just missed out.
Look at this thing. Look at this thing. I feel like people were telling me to buy this thing too.
Hold on. Did I just lose all my money on this bullshit?
And it's Bitcoin too, man. That in 20 years, you'll really be disgusted.
Wait, so Easy told us to buy this thing at 0.025 Bitcoin. When we were in Miami, I bought one at 0.025 and I was like,
I bought it. I still own it. I'm down 80%. Are you fucking kidding me?
So Nick, can I pitch up some potential ordinals buys that I think would be good for you to
I
make
have no more Bitcoin.
He's out of Bitcoin.
I put it in Rune Miner whatever bullshit club. I just did the math. It's like $1,500. I think I can survive. But
yeah, it's okay.
Fuck Easy.
With Bitcoin at $1 million, it'll be more.
Clemente, okay. Can we pitch that? What are the pitches?
So the first one is, Nick, as a high roller, obviously I can't, you know, I can't put 0.35 Bitcoin without blinking an eye. Obviously you can, right? So I wanted to pitch to you to potentially buy a Quantum Cat. I think Quantum Cat's at 0.35 Bitcoin. This will age so well. A lot of value here. You're betting on Udi, who's been bull posting a lot. I think they have something up their sleeve for the Runes launch. It's gonna get crazy.
This rather than a puppet.
Puppets are they don't have any specific founder for it. There's a lot of juice that's squeezed out. All right, stay focused, Nick. There's a lot of they already had the rune.
I am so focused that I heard that basically the situation. Yeah.
A lot of Jews interested in the puppets, huh, Clemente? Is that what you wanted to say? What does that mean?
That's why I should buy it?
That's why Nick should buy it? What are you trying to say, Clemente? That's odd.
Buy a Quantum Cat, long story short. I think it's a good buy. I wouldn't fade Udi here. I would assume some sort of activation happens within the Runes launch. Ray is actually, our researcher is considering buying one as well. Or you can put, I also don't think Ordinal Maxibiz is a bad buy at 0.4 Bitcoin, but I do think that is an interesting buy. Or you can just go with Bitcoin puppets, put your money on those, and those will probably go to one Bitcoin over the next, you know, year or so. But I think Quantum Cats are a really good buy here in terms of potential value you could get for it.
You're breaking Deez's rule. Deez, when we went on his podcast, talked about all of his wins come from very low entries, right? And you look at Bitcoin puppets, which he's been tweeting about for quite a while, that absolutely fits into his thesis there. 0.35 Bitcoins for a Quantum Cat, that's a pretty penny. Pretty penny.
But I like that. You know what, Clemente? I actually like that trade of yours because the cats haven't done anything, really. They've just like held steady. Yes, there've been some magical ones that have turned in and had the wizard capes. But I actually think that there's a lot of like teams who haven't done anything on runes. And I'm just thinking, are they not doing anything on runes because they don't want to talk about it? Because it kind of wants to be like a surprise within the project. And I would think that the cats would be one of them. So Nick, look, you miss Node Monkeys, you miss puppets, the cats. I mean, I feel like Clemente's actually onto something. And the only reason why he can't trade is because he doesn't have 0.35 Bitcoin. Otherwise, he would. So
Clemente is this, I think he's right. Like the worst player on a baseball team. Like this guy wouldn't even make it. They would have benched him, and he would have been in a AAA baseball. Is where he'd be operating.
That's not true. His paper trades are very good. His actual trades, I would never follow. That's why you want to go into.
It's too emotional when my money gets involved with it. I'm not fading the puppets. By the way, I've had enough trauma created in the last 2 months from just puppets just dunking on me. I'm not fading them. I just think in terms of a value buy, I'd way rather buy a Quantum Cat right now than a Bitcoin puppet. Hey, that might age terribly as well, but I do think this is a good buy for you, Nick, and I wouldn't fade as a high roller. And as someone that likes to trade illiquid JPEGs, I think you should have some sort of runes exposure. And Quantum Cats is a potential good buy where you just buy it. You don't think about it for 6 months and you just sit on it.
I mean, dude, I'll just keep buying Bitcoin and freaking Solana and everything else and keep doing that trade. And if another opportunity comes up, I'll do that. But dude, you're aping in at, I understand, maybe it goes from 0.3 to one, great leveraged bet, but it's like pretty high risk exposure. Like in terms of how much you're putting in there, you're saying go buy something for $20,000. Mm-hmm. And like, dude, that's a ridiculously expensive, I could go get a Rolex. Like, and so which would I rather have? Which do I think is going to go up higher in price? A Quantum Cat or Rolex? Obviously, Quantum Cat.
I was going to say it's not even a discussion. And a Rolex for that price is going to be like a shitty one that no one, that it won't increase in value probably.
I found one at like, or maybe it was 30,000 is what it costs. I was looking at the site last night because I was like curious. And I'm like, what world am I ever going to fucking buy a $30,000 watch? Like, I just don't know what, like, where does that, like, what? I don't know.
I let me tell you, Nick, if you're rich, because I know you, dude, if you're rich, let's say the most bullish scenario happens for us over the next 5 years. If you're rich, you're going to buy some
$20 million, $30 million.
$30 million, $40 million. You're going to be buying ignorant things, dude. I know you love buying things.
I will buy a Rolex. There's no doubt.
You love buying things, and that's okay. Look at the toys behind you. You got a bunch of toys, man.
Look at that new jacket.
Not like I spent a bunch on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like probably at least $1,000 of toys behind you, right?
No, I don't think
the Bored Ape alone is like $200.
Okay, I spent like 300.
Yeah, it's $1,000.
Let's not run the math, dude.
Okay, like, it's actually probably closer to 2,000.
No, but anyway. It's definitively not. It's sub 1,000 that I spent. I got a bunch of them as gifts, dude. Most of those are cheap garbage.
Anyway.
Yeah. So
we're going to do two more things before President Awesome of Karate Combat, very special guest, joins the show momentarily. Very, very excited for him to join. But two more things. We're getting pitched on pups, the pups rune.
Pitched on pups.
From Ray, our researcher. I also saw a super funny inverse brush screenshot tweet where someone was like, can someone explain runes to me? Like, help me understand. And they were like, Or something. It was like, well, NFTs on Bitcoin are called ordinals and shitcoins on Bitcoin are called runes, and just making fun of the fact that it's like, oh, runes. And they were like, okay, so it's just those things. It was like, yeah, but shittier because it's on Bitcoin. It was like, okay, cool. I thought it was really funny as a Bitcoin guy, because it is literally true. But anyway, so check it out. So Pups has a chance to position itself as the number one rune or the number one meme coin on Bitcoin, especially as Bitcoin puppets have a chance to flip Node Monkeys as the number one collection on Ordinals. The top meme coins on other chains on Solana, you got Whiff at just under a $4 billion market cap. On ETH, you have Pepe at a $3 billion market cap. Not hard to imagine that the number one rune being somewhere at least in this range, which is a 5X from the current implied market cap of Pups. What do you think about, you know, taking a gamble on the Pups meme coin? One thing I'll also add is that the Bitcoin community is very mad about runes, right? Very mad about meme coins being on Bitcoin, shitcoins on Bitcoin. I think that actually adds fuel to the fire for this and means it could go even higher. And that's basically why Bitcoin puppets are doing so well, because the legacy Bitcoin guard hates it. It is the perfect project to make them mad, and making them mad usually actually results in price going up, because it's a defiant pump, which is baked into crypto. It's baked into Bitcoin's essence. Nick.
So we're late. Because Ansem's been tweeting about this.
Yeah.
So like we're behind on this. But what does the token have to do with the NFT?
So the rune, the Pups rune will be distributed on a supply basis, to a specific amount to the rune pups, the rune puppets, NFTs or the ordinal, and then the other to the token holders.
But it's a Solana token. So how do you get
the bridge to? So there was a one-way bridge of the BRC20 token over to Solana. So a percentage of the supply is on Solana, a percentage of the supply is a BRC20 token.
So this is just trading relative to whatever the price of the BRC20 token ends up being?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the market cap on this right now is 100 million.
No. So that's the Solana one. I think the implied market cap right now of everything Pups Rune is like 600 million. I might be off 500, 600 million. I'll get the exact number right now.
I mean, this is
if you're looking for a trade, it's probably a profitable trade.
To what? Buy Pups on Solana?
But to buy something related to it, because it's going to be, it's really going to make Bitcoin people mad for like months.
I think it's a little, I don't know. It's a little overcooked for me. It's just, it feels weird buying something at 800 million where we don't know what other runes are going to be launching from, like ZK Shark. I'm assuming he's got something cooked up. We have rune stones. We have R6. We have whatever Udi's going to do. It's hard for me to imagine a world where like $800 million right now seems, and everyone's going to be like, oh, Clemente's a dumbass again. Here we go again. Just run to $1 billion. But I'm like, dude, they love dunking on me, dude. It's really, Anson's been pumping the living shit out of this, like literally three times a day tweeting about it for the last week. And it's gone on a monumental tear. I sold my Rune Pup NFT. I sold it at 0.01 Bitcoin. It's at 0.15 right now. So it's done a 15x in about 2.5 weeks.
You know what, Clemente? I'm 100% on the same page as you. They're just like, yes, at the moment, Pups has been getting the most attention, but we haven't even, like, the other teams haven't even started yet. Like, the race hasn't even begun. So I just think going into Pups right now, even at 800 million market cap, seems like you could probably get better value by going into other into other runes that come out. You still got Leonidas, still got Arsic, Tiny Vikings, Blobs, like the list goes on and on and on. So it just seems like if you're looking for value right now, basically with Ansem tweeting about it all the time, there's just been too much speculation in that one coin. And I'll be doing exactly what Clemente says and be looking at what other teams are doing, because there will be surprise stuff coming out. There'll definitely be surprise tokens coming out from projects which haven't said anything yet about runes.
I think the part that we're under, I think it's easy to over-index on things in crypto and to think, oh, well, I'm late, blah, blah, blah. I think the thing that we're under-indexing on is how slow legacy Bitcoin, calling it legacy Bitcoin is hilarious to me, but how slow legacy Bitcoin is on this stuff and how mad they're going to get. They're going to get so mad. They're already just violently mad. And this is going to make them so much more mad. And it's kind of still only the beginning. I mean, it hasn't even launched. The thing hasn't launched. So
it hasn't launched. And what I'm interested in is how many exchanges list some of these runes right away, or what that's going to, because that's the biggest thing to think about is like, is there going to be a Binance listing within the first week of these things launching? That's not an unrealistic scenario, right? Like, all of that stuff is pretty much what I think is going to drive a lot of the attention. And yeah, but at the end of the day, if Pups or whatever the king is of runes, this thing's going to run to like a $5 billion market cap at least.
Easy.
If not more. So
real quick, someone asked, are they really mad? Yes, they're really mad. Like, trust me, legacy Bitcoin, you just don't see it probably because that person might be on crypto Twitter and not Bitcoin Twitter. Do yourself a favor, follow 150 Bitcoin maximalists. Get into Bitcoin Twitter a little bit. I'm going to let you know that they're mad.
And then cop on this show and tell everyone that they don't understand Bitcoin and they're a bunch of losers. And then you'll start to understand what it's like being Pio.
I don't know about that, but at least we can get a baseline understanding of Bitcoin if we go to the right places for it. Anyway, look, last thing before President Awesome comes on, we got a few meme coins pulling back. Some majors pulling back. I'd say three majors and one bubbling under. So we got Bonk down 45% to $1.4 billion. And Nick, feel free to grab Nick, feel free to grab some charts, buddy. You are the most, you're the only person on the show right now that is a chart boy, if you will. I would love to see a little bit of chart action. We got Bonk down 45% to 1.4 billion. We got Dog with Hat, Whiff, down 33% to 3.3 billion. We have Mog down 60% to 200 million. That is a low market cap when you kind of think about it compared to those others. And then you have Joe Bowden, which I would not consider a major, but then again, or I guess it's Geo Bowden. Then again, election year, this thing could become a major. $470 million on it. What are we looking at, Nick?
There's a lot that's breaking down, Peel. It's breaking down right now. I mean, this doesn't look good. This doesn't look good right now. We got a rejection. We're going through another rejection right now. This is like basically what my life in relationships is like. This is awful. Oh, you found someone better. Great. That I'm happy for you. This is not looking so great. You found someone with a bigger Instagram following?
Wow. The women you're dating are evaluating you based on Instagram following. Very interesting.
I'm just saying, dude, we don't need to talk about that. I mean, there's no way that that ever happened to me. What was the name? We're looking at Bonk. You're interested in Bonk.
Bonk's interesting. Right, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, this is looking like Solana right now. Again, breaking down right here. Look at that breakdown. Just an awful breakdown. If we draw that line, let me just draw some lines for everybody who are watching right now. Awful. Break below. Guys, exit the meme coin market right now, okay?
I can't. Mine is staked for another 3 months.
Oh, that is awful. This is time to get out. We were looking for price action, direction. Oh, things are getting challenging out there. This is the same that Solana's looking like. Look at Bitcoin right now. Not as bad. Okay, Bitcoin's actually looking very good.
Yeah.
So, shout out to the Bitcoiners. Meme coins, altcoins, just getting wrecked. Look at Ape. Look at this.
I mean, but that's a tough one.
Look at that.
It's a tough one to get behind.
Would you look at that? That's crazy. Look at that. Filecoin breaking down below. This is the true indicator of the market right here.
Bonk or whiff?
There's more analysis here to attach to this. Look at Doge, though. Doge looking real strong. Look at Doge.
How high could Doge go?
It can go to a dollar, Pia.
But actually?
Yeah, why not? What's the market cap? 27 billion? Holy shit, that would be a lot. That'd be like 100 billion. Yeah, sure. You know? I think that makes sense. Dude, if I'm going to make up numbers, $1 sounds great. You know, I've thought about a lot of numbers. I've done a lot of analysis and I've made up a lot of things in my life. And let me tell you, I'm happy to make up more things. When I look at these charts, when I look at what ENS token is doing, this is just, as you know, they always say, as ENS goes, so too the market. That's what they say.
We met FUBAR and he's making the ENS killer.
Well, and when the ENS token's going down, you got to wonder about what is Coca-Cola stock doing, Pia? Is the dividend going up? Is the dividend going down? We have no idea. And I'm trying to figure that out because that's absolutely at the foundation of what's important to this market right now. Let's check out Asana stock. Wow. We went from 20 down to 15. That's a 25% decrease. Disney, I'd called it before. We had had a conversation about this earlier in the year.
Look at that gap.
And look at that just breakout. Just absolute domination, like I was saying. Two things that I compare, Disney stock, Dog with Hat. These are basically the same thing. You're welcome for the analysis.
Well, look, Nick, thank you for the analysis. We will. Amazon, I love charts.
Absolutely pumping.
I love chart sessions with you. I would love to do more.
Look at this. Would you look at that? How's that looking for you?
That looks good. That looks good.
Absolutely freaking crushing it.
That is a send.
Stock. What a stock. Bio said, sell your Amazon. No, buy MicroStrategy. That's what you said the other day. Salesforce.
Look at MicroStrategy.
One of our primary sponsors went from 123 up to 317. Everyone's looking at this. Everyone in the crypto market saying, what's going on with Salesforce stock? I heard it. Every time anybody I talked to at NFT NYC, they were saying, Nick, tell me, give me a financial analysis of the Salesforce stock. And I say, you got it, boss. Let me tell you, I dive into it. I analyze their balance sheet. I take a look at the income statement. I take a look at the cash flow situation. You know, are they next to a tower that's tilting in San Francisco? Is that where they're headquartered at? Yeah, they are. Is the land that tower is built on built with just like absolute like landfill? Yeah, it is. But is that the way that the market's going to go? Is that the way that the crypto market's going to go? This is the sort of analysis that people are looking.
Hey, look, and it was fantastic. More chart sessions coming soon. Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by the one and only president of Karate Combat. Karate Combat 45 is happening next Saturday, April 20th, 420. Luke Rockhold, former UFC champion in the light heavyweight division, is actually competing. We have the founder of Goatshed MMA, a true martial artist, Asim Zaidi. President Awesome, what's going on, Asim?
What's happening, guys? Good morning. And I love the outfit, by the way. The headband. I'm jealous of the headband. It could cover up my hairline, maybe. I should get that.
Well, I'm going to have the same hairline as you in short order. Also, Asim, is there like a press connect that preps every single high-level MMA professional that they have to do podcasts from the car? The amount of MMA people doing podcasts from the car is alarming. So is someone telling you this is the way to do it?
So I didn't even realize that. I'll tell you, for me, I'm constantly working, right? So I'm jumping in, I'm training. I have a bunch of UFC fighters in the gym right now. They're in training camp and I can't abandon them. So unfortunately, it's very rare that I get to be home, you know? So I'm in the car jumping on podcasts or training the guys in the gym.
Totally understood. It's all good. So for people that don't know, you are a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You are a kickboxing champ. You run a gym that has a ton of pro fighters. Your gym is known to spar very hard, which I find interesting. And if we have a couple minutes at the end, I'd like to cover that. I would love to understand what brought you to Karate Combat, because you're a real martial arts guy. I don't know if you've even like gotten into crypto at all before Karate Combat, but what made you join Karate Combat and what had you excited about Karate Combat? A martial arts organization, a professional sports organization that has crypto baked in.
Yeah. So what was cool, what first caught my eyes was, I mean, it looks like a movie. It looks like a video game. I was a big Mortal Kombat fan, and just watching it from the outside, I'm like, this is unbelievable. I would love one of my fighters to compete in this. And I showed this to my athletes and they were down. So the first step was getting our athlete in Karate Combat, and we blew them up. We were emailing them all this stuff. And finally they invited us out to go watch a show. I got an athlete to compete. And then it was just from there on, you know, we stuck with each other. Actually, you just mentioned some crazy sparring. I mean, yesterday it was insane. We had a jumping, spinning back kick to the face. Somebody got KO'd for like 3 minutes. It was terrible. It was really, really bad. So I hope to change that reputation, but I'm not doing a good job changing it. So
were those two guys in the same gym, or was that a guest from another gym?
So, okay, wait. This is a phenomenal story. I walk to the gas station across the street from my gym, and the cashier's like, dude, sign me to Karate Combat. I want to fight Karate Combat. I'm like, bro, like, I don't even know you. Like, okay, whatever. I invite him to spar at my gym. He comes into my gym yesterday and spars an amateur, because that's the level I'm assuming he's at. He jumping, spinning sidekicks this guy in the face and KOs him, viciously KOs him. On camera, I'll have this posted soon, and then screams at the camera saying, sign me to Karate Combat. And it's like, I got to sign him to Karate Combat.
Asim, it's a good story. I'm never training at Goatshed. I will never train there. I am an amateur martial arts, you know, trainee person. I'm not getting KO'd by a literal random guy from the gas station. That sounds rough. But I'd love to know, what do your fighters make of the crypto element of Karate Combat, right? Because, like, you know, I've done some podcasts with Carlos Condit, with Brandon Moreno's head jiu-jitsu coach, and listening to the way that they think about crypto, you know, obviously the main focus is martial arts. And if you're a professional martial artist or martial arts coach, you have to be fully in. You can, it's kind of life or death, right? So you don't have a lot of time to go and dive deep into something that's super hard to understand. That took me years to understand. So I'd love to understand what is the kind of perception from fighters on crypto?
So at first there's a lot of ignorance, right? Like they have no idea. And since they're so focused, like you said, it's life or death for them on the fight. At first, they don't even want to learn anything else. But that's when it comes to anything in life. Like, to teach a fighter about anything else, it's just not going to happen. I mean, if they're focused, they're just not going to want to do it. But what's cool is you have a guy fight once. Like, for example, one of my athletes, Chaz Abram, he fights once. Okay, he earns some tokens. He doesn't really think about it. Time passes, and he sees the promotion, and he sees where the token's going. He sees everyone talking about it. He wins another fight. He earns more tokens, and he's like, wait a minute. This is pretty cool. Like, and then he starts diving into it, and then he starts discovering what the power behind it and what it actually does. And then obviously the interest appears, you know, and then he starts educating himself on crypto. And that's, I've been seeing that happen to more and more athletes. I mean, it's happened. That's how it happened with me. You know, I got this position with Karate Combat, and over time I'm like, okay, this crypto stuff, I don't even understand it. I'm not going to try to understand it. I'm focused on the fight aspect of it. And then we have geniuses like Only LARPing and everyone behind Karate Combat that understands the crypto. But as time started passing, I started learning more and more. I started getting more intrigued. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is huge. I didn't realize how big it is to be the first ever sports league run by a crypto token. Like, that's nuts. So as I'm learning and getting more educated, I can see that my athletes are interested as well.
I mean, it's super interesting. And Karate Combat's attraction of the biggest names in martial arts is very, very interesting to me. Also, obviously, you have Luke Rockhold competing next weekend. I'm assuming you guys have some more irons in the fire. It seems like word is getting around. You've been on every major MMA podcast in the past 3 months except the Joe Rogan podcast. That's the only podcast out of all the majors that you haven't been on. Are you going to get on to Joe Rogan, President Asim?
So, what? 7 years ago, Joe Rogan started following my personal account, and the month I opened GoatShed, he started following my GoatShed account too. So I talk with him here and there about like aliens and stuff, but I've never had the courage to ask him to be on a podcast. I think it's time. I think I have plenty to speak about, and I'm sure we would enjoy the conversation. So I would love to hop on a Rogan podcast. So for sure, I'm going to be messaging him and ask him if I could have that honor.
Well, that would be super cool. Karate Combat has been discussed on the Joe Rogan podcast more than once. You just had Dean Thomas, who I know is an employee of Karate Combat, on Joe Rogan in a little group panel. I haven't listened to that episode yet. I don't know if he actually discussed Karate Combat, but he was wearing the shirt. So like it's on the radar. How do you see the kind of growth of Karate Combat, both from a martial arts perspective and a crypto perspective, for the rest of this year? Because the growth has been pretty crazy when I kind of think about the influencer side with BitBoy Crypto, you know, crypto influencer, you know, competing and putting on a show. I'm seeing guys like Charles Oliveira show up to events, which is nuts. I think Bisping's about to be an event, or he already went or something like that. Maybe even you can persuade him to compete because he's a psycho. You know, then you got guys like Lou Rockhold coming in. And yeah, I'd love to know what the trajectory looks like for 2024 in your mind.
Well, as far as all the names you're mentioning, I mean, those guys are nonstop messaging me on the DMs or texting me or calling me. For instance, should I release this? All right, whatever, I'll just say it. All right, okay, I'll do it. So later this year, we have an event in Shanghai, and there's an athlete that he actually has a Chinese martial arts background, and he messaged me. He really wants to debut, and there's nothing better than to have this guy debut because he has knockout power in both hands. And he has a belly that would hang over his black belt. That's so, it would be fascinating to watch him wear a karate gi pan black belt. So Big Country Roy Nelson, you will definitely see him.
Big name.
Yes. So the Kung Fu Panda is going to be coming out. I'm talking to him about getting him to fight in one of our events in Shanghai. So I think that's a big one. And there's a lot of other big names, but he's the fun one that I'm talking to, you know, really closely right now.
I mean, that's incredible, man. And I guess on the kind of crypto side, You know, you're seeing guys like Kenny Florian. He's a huge Bitcoin guy. I mean, like huge Bitcoin guy. He's like bull posting Bitcoin. I think he has laser eyes on Twitter, right? So I do think it's penetrating the sport, especially since the structure for fighters, even at the highest level in the UFC, is not the best. I mean, I don't think that from a compensation perspective, right? 10 and 10, 20 and 20, it's not exactly a ton of money to go out there and put your body on the line. So, you know, really, really super excited about what the future looks like for Karate Combat. Just a couple of fun questions before we let you go, because I know that you're short on time. You went on Ariel Helwani's podcast, top of the food chain MMA journalist, you know, longtime ESPN correspondent, now does his own thing. And you said you don't drink water. You only drink coffee. Is this true?
All right. This is very important. Thank you for setting this up for me. Okay. This is very, very important. I am not advocating for not drinking water. That being said, I don't drink any water. Should I drink water? Yes. Will I? Probably not. Okay. I'm full of caffeine, testosterone, HGH. That's all I do. Okay.
You're serious about the steroid stuff too.
Oh, dude. Freaking my butt cheeks are sore right now from the amount of injections I'm doing. Dude, I have a doctor supervising it for the record, okay? But I am an excessive guy. He prescribes me something and I double it always. That's how I am, okay? But look, that's how I have this energy. That's how I'm pushing you. There you go. That's the clip, right?
Yeah, that's the viral clip of you saying you don't drink water and you do steroids. The way you presented it, I thought it might be a joke. You and me are the same age, fun fact. I looked it up. We're the exact same age. So you're saying it's good to be on steroids now, or I should say it's good, but like it's on the table?
No. See, that's what everyone needs to understand. None of what I'm doing is good. That's not what I'm saying. I said it very clearly on the Ariel Helwani podcast that my kidneys are doing terrible, that doctors are recommending me to change my lifestyle, that longevity is horrible. No. None of this is good, but I'm on every performance enhancing, you know, supplement you could think of. But yeah. No, none of this is healthy. I would not recommend this to anyone. I'm just telling you my vices, right? I don't drink alcohol. That's great. I never tasted a drop of alcohol in my life. I never tried a drug in my life. Not once. Those are all wonderful things. But I'll tell you my vices. I don't drink water. I drink black coffee and steroids.
I drink black coffee and steroids. I like that. I think our audience would connect deeply though, because their health is typically aligned with your approach as well. They're just sitting in front of their computer trading meme coins for the most part. So I feel like, you know, like attract like. This is a good approach.
There's something about when your urine is a dark orange, you just feel like a man. You just feel like you got it, you know, like a gorilla. I feel I feel like a gorilla here, man. Dark or it burns.
Well, I see.
Chlamydia. I don't know if it's chlamydia.
We're watching this guy die on this show. This is ridiculous, dude. Like he's like literally being like, my body is decaying in front of a live audience. That's crazy.
Well, look, last thing, and Aseem, this is hilarious. I didn't expect this, but last thing, look, me and Nick and obviously the whole team here, we're big on content.
Love therapy. So tell us real quick, what sort of childhood issues led to this moment?
Oh man, wow. You know what? I guess you know how they say, you know, some people grow up entitled. So on my side of things, I guess it was super extreme because my parents always made me believe that I was making the business decisions. So when my father was like wanting to do something with his health food restaurant or my mother wanted to buy a new property, they would always ask me, hey, should I buy this property? Should I buy that property? I was like 6 years old, 7 years old. And I always believed that I was the creator of their businesses, you know, when I was a little kid. So having that, I guess, sense of power, it was false. It wasn't real, obviously. I was an 8-year-old child, but having that maybe has impacted me to the psychopath I am today.
Well, there you go. Look, last thing, you know, we're content creators. We study viral content marketing, everything like that, right? You've talked about doing this sort of storming other gyms and challenging their fighters, which I do think if you execute that properly, it can get spicy. That's a spicy angle for content for sure. Is this really happening? You're going to bust into gyms unannounced with cameras, with martial artists and say, who wants the smoke?
Guys, oh, wow, this is all, it's perfect. It's perfect. What you just said, exactly. Who wants to smoke? That's a phrase we say very often. So I want to call it dojo storming, right? And yeah. I went to Storm Dojos. So the idea was we want to get a sprinter van. I'll fill it up with like, I don't know, like 7 or 8 fighters. And then we'll just travel to different gyms and then show up to their sparring days unannounced and just smash everybody. And we'll find out if they're a Mac Dojo or not. And if they're able to spar back and forth with us, then they're not a Mac Dojo. And then we, you know, can give them a little sticker or something. And then and if they're not able to handle the smoke, then, you know, we'll leave a different sticker. You know, I thought it would be a great viral idea. Now, look, I have a lot of really awesome viral ideas. My team and I really are good at this stuff. The issue is there's so much to do at once that sometimes things don't get done. So, for instance, the one that you mentioned right now, I've been wanting to do this for like 3-4 months now, and I haven't gotten it done. You just reminded me right now. I got to get it done. There's so much to do, but I want the Dojo Storming series to start ASAP, without a doubt.
Yeah, well, I'd imagine, you know, legality comes into play, the paperwork, lawyers, injuries, hospital
that.
Visits.
You're talking about legality. I was like, I got to pick out a sprinter van. I didn't do that yet. But like, no, you know, legality. I'm just going to show up and smash these. Like, no, there's no problem with legality. I mean, I don't know. It's a waiver. We just sign a waiver, right?
Waiver. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, President Asim Zaidi, founder of Goatshed MMA, president of Karate Combat, next weekend in Dubai at Token 2049. Luke Rockhold, former UFC light heavyweight champion, is competing. It's going to be a spectacle for sure. Huge name to get on the card. Anything else, Asim, that people need to know about Karate Combat, then go to karate.com. If they're crypto people, which 99% of the people listening to this show are, they should check out the Karate Token, of course, but anything else people need to know, Asim?
Yeah, I mean, definitely download the Karate Combat app, and then that way you can vote on your favorite fighters, get involved with the token. And then more than anything, right now, I have all the fight fans behind me. I'm still learning about this crypto world, so please, guys, hit me up, talk to me, give me ideas. I would love to interact with you guys, so that way I can go ahead and get better knowledge myself and then represent you guys well in Karate Combat.
Hey, Asim, love it. And if there's any message that I can send to you is that the entire crypto market, Bitcoin, whatever, would love to see a proper, call it a mass onboarding of the MMA community to crypto. I think out of all the sports leagues, it's the most prime for it. Fighters have to cover their own insurance. They're running LLC businesses versus being part of players' unions the way the NBA and NFL are. And Karate Combat having the token baked in is awesome, man. Get on Joe Rogan. Let's talk about Karate Combat and crypto on Joe Rogan. Real pleasure having you on the show today, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate all of you.
Absolutely. More podcasts from cars. Yeah, drink water and do your podcast from a car. All right. See you, Asim. Thanks for joining, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Asim Zaidi from Karate Combat, President Awesome. This was a really, really fun one for me for sure. Also loved Nick's questions to him as well. This is the Daily Bone podcast. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. We'll be back on Monday. Check it out on Apple and Spotify podcasts. Check it out anywhere you get your podcasts. YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. If you want to watch the video stream, we're on YouTube and X platform video. We will be back on Monday. Thanks for listening, everyone. Catch you guys next time. Check out Karate Combat. Karate.